Wednesday, February 9th of this past week marked the fifth anniversary of the killing of 17-year-old Quanis Moose Hayes by Portland police officer Andrew Hurst. Hayes was unarmed and on his knees when Hurst shot him three times. In recognition of what his grandmother, Donna Hayes, refers to as Moose's angel bursary, hourly online screenings of the film Hayes wrote called Silent Voices were organized for last Wednesday. The film depicts Moose's story alongside the stories of eight other individuals killed by Portland police, including Aaron Campbell, Bodie Phelps, Bradley Morgan, Christopher Kalonji, Jack Collins, John Ellifritz, Kendra James, and Merle Hatch. Produced by Open Signal in conjunction with Portland Playhouse, the play was co-directed by Portland photographer Kendall and Olivia Louise, who was also a camera operator and an editor on the film, and organized the film screening. The event was a fundraiser for Pacific Northwest Family Circle, an all-volunteer organization which provides community and support for Oregon and Washington families who've had family members killed or injured by police. Working alongside Donna Hayes in her long struggle for justice for Moose and other victims of the PPB's routine lethal violence was Sylvia Dollarson, Donna's mother and Moose's great-grandmother, who died this past December. In March of this past year, the city of Portland agreed to a $2.1 million settlement in a wrongful death lawsuit, about a quarter of which will go to legal fees. In an Oregonian article, Maxine Bernstein quoted Hayes' uncle, Stephen Hayes, who spoke of watching Andrew Hurst giving a deposition. Quote, "I sat across the room from him. That was one of the worst things I've had to endure, was this man not showing any remorse for killing one of my family members." Unquote. As Bernstein documented in the article, quote, "The family's lawyers hired forensic biomechanical engineer Jesse L. Wobrook, who reviewed the paths of the three bullets that hit Hayes and the teen's wounds," unquote, arriving at a conclusion that starkly differed from Officer Hurst's account of the shooting. Hurst, Bernstein also noted, was previously one of three officers involved in the lethal shooting of 50-year-old Merle Hatch. Bernstein wrote that Wobrook, quote, "found that Hayes was on his knees, his head and neck bent forward, and his torso leaning slightly forward to comply with the officer's orders to go down to his face when Hurst fired the shots. Bullets struck Hayes in the abdomen, torso, and head," unquote. In September 20th, shortly before the Portland debut of Silent Voices, I interviewed Donna Hayes in Cooch Park in Northwest Portland. Donna was accompanied, as she so often was, by her 77-year-old mother, Sylvia. Sylvia died a mere 8 months after the lawsuit was settled, and nearly 5 years after Moose was killed, begging the question of how many more years she might have had ahead of her were it not for the impunity that Portland police shooters routinely enjoy, even as the city continues to shell out millions in wrongful death lawsuits. Even as we focus on the PPB's death toll, those killed directly by the PPB bullets, it's also important to recognize that those same bullets often take years, if not decades, off the lives of family members who are forced to carry the weight of grief and trauma through their long struggle for justice. Donna talked about the importance of memorializing people whose lives were cut short by the Portland police.
Their stories needed to be told. It brings them back to life. So they get a chance to tell their stories, talk to their families.
Here's a clip from the opening moments of Donna Hayes' play, Silent Voices.
Year after year, we watch American citizens become silent, and people like me have to speak for those voices that were silent. Their lives were shortened through police violence. I often look all over the country at lives blinking out to the sounds of gunfire. I don't have to look far. Portland and its metro area hold silent voices, and I am willing to speak for them. I am now speaking for the dead.
In my 2020 interview with her, Donna Hayes talked about the process of writing the play.
People who I didn't know, I took newspaper articles, and I didn't take articles that where the police was just beating them down. I took articles where families and friends talked about them. I didn't want the play to be all boo-hoo and I'm crying about everybody. I wanted it to be lively. I wanted people to know what was taken away from us. It were alive people, real people, and they was removed from us.
And she spoke about the process of memorializing her grandson, Moose, who's forever frozen at the age of 17.
He was so easy to write about. Everybody else, I had family members I could talk to, because Moose was the easiest to write. That was my favorite grandchild.
And he would have just been 21 in August, is that right?
August 2nd would have been his birthday. I had promised him that I would take him to happy hour when he made 21, but needless to say, that didn't happen. And so my honor is the plate for him. And it got a chance to tell his story, the type of person he was.
Donna Hayes would go on to relate something that, as far as I know, had not appeared in any of the news reports of the killing of Moose Quantas Hayes. Moose, she would go on to say, knew Andrew Hearst, that Hearst knew Moose.
But we got so many people that's just killed for no reason at all. If you got a person, like for instance, my grandson, who's working to do what you say, you telling him, raise your hand, crawl out, do these things. And
he was literally on his knees when he was shot.
Trying to do what they said, but it was too many voices coming at him. He was scared. He probably had his pants coming down. And Hearst killed him. And if people would read the public notice, Hearst knew him.
How did Hearst know him?
My grandson beat up one of his relatives at a fight. He was a kid. Okay, and Hearst knew him.
She spoke about being spurred into organizing as a way of coping with the death of her grandson.
Moose, everything I do is because of him. I really don't want to see somebody else join our club that nobody wants to be in. When I got in with Pacific Northwest Family Circle, one of the people that started it came to one of our visuals. And she pulled me aside. And she stopped me with all these tears. That's all I did from the moment I found out he was dead until I seen that woman. And she said, do something. Don't just sit and cry. Before I recognized the killing of people, it broke my heart, but I didn't reach out. And once it happened to me, I had no other choice but to reach out. My thing is, I don't want other people to have to join this crowd. Get out and fight before it happens to one of yours.
And she talked about organizing alongside her mother, Sylvia.
Mother, and what, she's 77? 77-year-old mother gets out. She actually was a person that marched with Martin Luther King back in Chicago. But me and my mother get in the mood, we get our staplers and our glue, and we put it all over the neighborhood.
And Donna spoke of her work with Sylvia, along with Jill Nicholson, launching the Portland car caravans, and the hope she took from seeing images of Moose and other victims of Portland police and lethal shootings from around the country, their names memorialized on walls and fences around the city during the height of the George Floyd uprising in Portland.
I love the sight of the Federal Building. I couldn't wait when I went through. I just filmed it. I thought it was beautiful. All the messages, letting people know. I love the ACAB. I love that. Every time I see a cop, when I'm on my megaphone, that's what I scream out. So I've seen paintings all over the city of my grandson. I went down a neighborhood, and it was a beautiful neighborhood, and they had a little park going down the middle of the street. And on every tree, from one end to the other, had a list of black names. You go around the other side, it had a list of black names. I took the caravan that way. And as we go down, I was screaming out, say their name. And the people in there came out in solidarity. The more people stand up and be educated, because some people need to be educated. And we put things on our car sometime that is educational. And that's the major thing. The play, the caravan, Pacific Northwest Family Circles, when they out protesting, all of it is education.
As we mark the fifth anniversary of the February 9th, 2017 shooting of 17-year-old Moose Quantas Hayes, we remember also his great-grandmother, Sylvia Dollarson, who died in December. On January 7th, the Scanner News published reflections on the life of Sylvia Dollarson from activists with Pacific Northwest Family Circle, who remembered her as a community leader and elder. The Scanner piece notes that, quote, Mrs. Dollarson had always been an advocate and activist for social justice. In the 60s, she proudly took her newest baby and other children to march with Dr. Martin Luther King in Chicago. Throughout her life, she fed houseless people weekly and some even daily out of her own personal budget. And last year, she co-led the Black Lives Matter Car Caravan PDX event to raise awareness of institutional and interpersonal racism during the George Floyd uprisings. Mrs. Dollarson was a pivotal elder in our organization, it goes on to say, quote, she was a woman of great strength, wisdom, and generosity. She was fierce and fearless, too. Pre-COVID, she and her daughter, Donna Hayes, would host our monthly meetings in person, arranging for the meeting room and feeding everyone. We remember her to be rather quiet most of the time. When she did choose to share her thoughts, though, they were always informative and influential. Her presence, humor, and leadership in Pacific Northwest Family Circle will be sorely missed. We are grateful for the time she shared with us. May she rest in peace. To find out more about the work of Pacific Northwest Family Circle, go to pnwfamilycircle.org. That's pnwfamilycircle.org. Donna Hayes' play, Silent Voices, is available for viewing on YouTube. This Valentine's Day segment is dedicated to Donna Hayes with love, condolences, and much respect. This has been Desiree Hilligers for the Omaha Variety Hour. Before there was
Trayvon. This song is dedicated to Deontay J. Keller, who was shot by Portland, Oregon police in 1996. Before there was Trayvon. And all the others across the country who have lost their lives in senseless violence to the man in blue.
License to kill, they get away with murder. Plant the evidence at the scene, throw away burner. They'll say they felt their life was in imminent danger. Another sister or brother slain by a stranger. Murder one of us every 28 hours. Undeclared warfare, that's white power. If you're indigenous or African American, they use the media to assassinate your character. For it to make sense, I'd have to be convinced. They're predators amongst us with malevolent intent. I could have a confrontation at a moment's notice. Sandra Bland, Tamir Rice, Keaton Otis, James Perez, and Kendrick James, Deontay Keller, too many names, Oscar Grant, and Aaron Campbell. How we gonna set a different example?
Is pacifying the masses with sadistic tactics. Communities live in fear, wondering how many will die this year and how many more remain silent in the face of violence. People hold their breath, knowing it's liberty or death. Headhunters, decapitating movements, breaking nations into fragments, and race is said to be coincidence rather than evidence that the state of the nation is extermination. Blood of fathers, brothers, sisters, mothers leaning America from Oakland to Providence, forced silence, government-funded violence. Armed forces are targeting melanin once again, and homicide is justified when it's genocide. But how many more black folks are going to be crucified for the sins of America?
February 28, 1996, my son Deontay J. Keller was pulled over by Portland police officer Terry Krueger. Unfortunately, he jumped out the car and ran. Unbeknownst to him, a shot was fired, and he was shot in the back. But he continued to run, even though no shots fired call was called into the dispatch. Police found Deontay about three houses down in the backyard, lying face down, but he was still breathing. They handcuffed him and called for medical. Medical arrived at 2:23 a.m., but the police would not allow the medical to come in until 3:41. Within that time frame, Deontay died.